Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody, especially our visitors that we have with us. We have a few first-time visitors in the crowd. We're very glad to have you. We have the Royers, who every time they're in town, anytime they get near Las Vegas, they're with us from Indiana, and we're very glad to see you again and worship with you. One of our fairly regular members, who many of you know, Sue and Travis Wheeler, they gifted us with a year's subscription of these Power for Today that are in the foyer out there. If you have not gotten a chance to pick one up, if one per family, please, so everybody could get one. They're little devotional booklets. Be wonderful for a daily devotional, Bible reading, some comments and so forth as you study the Bible. It's not the only way to study the Bible, but a nice way. And we thank Sue and Travis for that generous gift. They come every quarter, and they've provided us with a year's worth. So we're very thankful for that. One more announcement. The men, I think it's 2 weeks. It's the first Saturday of December, December 2nd. Here at the building, the men, if you could arrange to attend a men's meeting. Now for the end of the year, we'll be looking at budgets and just wrapping up some things that we need to look at to make the congregation run smoothly. Want to remind the men of the congregation that will be Saturday, December 2nd at 10 o'clock here at the building. I have a couple of prayer requests that people have submitted. We need to remember Stacy. She is having a barium swallow test. They're this coming Wednesday. She's having a little bit of trouble swallowing. They don't know if it's the maybe scar tissue, maybe from her neck surgery or something else. And they're doing a test to kind of eliminate and diagnose what the problem is with that. So keep her in mind this Wednesday. Van, even though those injections helped for a little bit, which is, I guess, better than nothing, he's experiencing not only the low back pain, but pain in his neck. And he didn't say it was Celia. So I'm assuming I went there, Tracy. I went there. We're assuming it's coming from his back. So we'll remember Van, and hopefully they will be able to determine best way to treat that. Teresa and James, we need to remember them. They are both homesick with the flu. Have one here. It says, "To God be the glory. Praise God for mercy and amazing grace." Amen on that. Grateful for all my church members and for the prayers for her son, Daron. Prayers and blessings to all. Prayers for forgiveness of my sins. In Christ's name, I pray, amen. And may all your blessings be magnified in Christ. That's a wonderful prayer that all of us could be saying every day. Glenda, her sister-in-law passed away this past week, and she was here today, but needed, Anne said she left. She was just grieving a little too much, could not attend. Let's continue to pray for her strength and comfort at this time and for her family. And Armita requests prayers for her uncle, Jose. He is not expected to live much longer, and need to pray that his passing will be comforted, and pray for the family at this time. Let's go to God in prayer, and then we will get into our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you thanking you for the avenue of prayer, that we can come to you boldly, that we can cast our cares and concerns on you, and that you listen to us. We ask that you please forgive us of our sins. We don't want anything to hinder you hearing our prayers. Dear God, we ask that you be with those that were mentioned. We ask that you know the best way and the best treatment for these people mentioned. Spiritual, physical, emotional. We ask that you be with them and comfort them. Be with us all, not only physically, but spiritually. Please forgive us for the things that we do wrong, and we pray everything through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Some other good news. Jeff did not turn in a card, but Jeff was mentioning we had been having prayers for his brother, who's been having some heart issues. They have found that they're going to be able to do a procedure, not near as invasive as open heart surgery, but they're going to be able to go in and fix the problem. And it'll be in a few weeks in mid-December. So we'll continue to keep Jeff's brother in our prayers. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 today. Michael kind of set the stage, and not a lot more to say after what Michael did a good job. I might as well just offer an invitation and sit down and shut up. But Michael read the scripture and kind of put it in context. This was a letter to a very dear group of people that as Michael said, he had studied with and spent years with. And after Paul's introduction in verses 1 and 2, this is how he opens the letter. This is the first verse after the introduction. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." We're going to look at just this. In fact, not only this verse, we're going to look at just spiritual blessings, you know, that Paul's talking about. Prayer is a spiritual blessing we have, that we can go before God the Creator with our concerns, that he's given us the church. Jesus says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail. God has given us the church, each other. That, talk about a spiritual blessing. He's given us his word, the word of God. And we've got it compiled from beginning to end, the Bible. Talk about a spiritual blessing. It's tremendous. He's given us hope. One of the big problems I see in our society is people that seem to not have hope. The suicides, the alcohol, drug abuse, that people turn because they don't have any other alternative. God, one of our spiritual blessings that we have is we've got hope. And of course, he's given us salvation. He's given us a lot of physical blessings, a lot of worldly physical blessings. But here in verse 3, he says he's given us every spiritual blessing. Let's look at these. Prayer. Through prayer, we can offer thanks to God. We can offer and should offer thanks. This week, we're celebrating a holiday, Thanksgiving. Every day is Thanksgiving for us. Maybe not the turkey and the sweet potatoes, and although that wouldn't be bad either. But every day is Thanksgiving for us. Through prayer, we can repent of the sins and we can leave them with God. We don't have to carry those with us. God doesn't want us to carry it with us. We're supposed to lay aside all that baggage and run the race that is before us. We can't run that race effectively carrying the baggage of guilt and sin. We can repent to God in prayer. Let's take advantage of that. We can make our requests known to God. And we can give him praise. God the Father, God the Creator, deserves and wants our praise, expects it. How do we do it? One way is by the life we live, but also verbally in praise and prayer. We sing praises in song. We individually can go to God in prayer with praise. Hebrews 4, starting in verse 14, says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." The first thing the high priest needed to do, they needed to cleanse themselves before they offered the sacrifices for us. Jesus, we have a high priest that was without sin. He not only offered the sacrifice, he was the sacrifice. Verse 16, "Let us therefore," because of that, "let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." We've talked about mercy and grace before. Mercy is not getting what we deserve, and grace is getting something that we don't deserve. In that one verse, both of them are included. In Philippians 4, 6, "Be anxious for nothing." Just recently, Dick had a wonderful Sunday night lesson about that. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." God knows what we need before we even go. It's important to us to go to God in prayer. In 1 Peter 5, the Apostle Peter says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God." Why? "That he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. God wants us. We need to go to God in prayer. That's one of the spiritual blessings. He's given us the church. Yes, he's given us, allowed us the physical structure. That's not what we're talking about. He's given us the church. Us. That together, united, we can study and learn together. We're not left alone to try to figure it out by ourselves. We can come together and as a body, worship together. Got it. The Royers made a comment today that they consider us their second home when they come out this way. That's what the church is. The church, a congregation, can lead and guide the people in the direction we need to go. And we have that fellowship that the church gives. Not accusing, but don't be one of those. And I'm sure have known people like that. The last amen, they are running out the door like Usain Bolt. They're heading. All you hear is the shutting of the door and tires squealing as they're getting out of the. Don't be. We've got the fellowship. Was Usain Bolt too old of a reference? At least I didn't use Jesse Owens. Okay. Romans 12. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Acts 2:47, the day of Pentecost, after those 3,000 heard the word of God, heard that wonderful gospel message delivered by Peter. And in verse 47 it says, and the Lord added to the church. He didn't add on an additional room. He didn't add on different class. No, he added to the church us. Daily, those who were being saved. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Paul tells the church in Thessalonica, therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Keep doing it. That's the church. Comforting, edifying, teaching, leading, encouraging. John 13, Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you. That says a lot right there. We'll put that aside. That phrase is a whole lesson. A new commandment. If anybody had the authority to give an additional commandment, it was Jesus, the Son of God, who was in the beginning with God. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That's how we show each other. That's how we show the world we're disciples of Jesus. God's given us his word, the Bible. Psalms 119, verse 105. Psalmist writes, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's what the word of God is. It shows us the way. We don't have to determine the way. We don't have to determine what to do. The Word shows us the way. The path is already laid out for us. All we have to do is follow it. We don't have to blaze trails. The trail has been blazed for us. Hebrews 4:12, talking about the Word of God. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit. That's a fine cut right there. And the joints, and of joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what the Word of God can do. The Word of God is powerful. And it's living. It's not dead. It's not written for somebody of an ancient time. Well, that was for them. It's alive. And it's as much for us as it was for the first century. 2 Timothy, we use this scripture quite frequently. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is God-breathed. It's not determined by man. We were talking in Bible class this morning about that teaching should not be our opinion, should not be our standard. It's the Bible standard. All scripture is given in by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. That we can go to others with it, using it as the standard. For correction, we can correct each other. Not pointing out to somebody where they're wrong by our standard, by God's Word standard. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God has given us that. And He's preserved it all these years that we can read it today, fresh and new as the day it was penned. We have hope. Hope is that. A lot of people misunderstand hope. Sometimes I use the word hope. I sure hope something happens. I sure hope I get XYZ for Christmas. This is a confident hope, an expectation hope, not wishful thinking, not a wish in the wind. Romans 5, starting in verse 3, Paul wrote, and not only that, but we also glory in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. In 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Paul knows our hope goes beyond this life. It's not just now. Could you imagine if we're just, I sure hope I have eternal life. I sure hope there's a heaven. If that's all we had, the things we're sacrificing, the things we're doing, the heart. Could you imagine if that hope, that's all Paul had during life? He sacrificed an awful lot for something of this life. We've got hope that's going to go on for eternity and a confident expectation. And last but not least, he's given us salvation. Salvation. This is good enough for me. We could have started and stopped with this. A verse that many of us have learned from childhood. Many of the kids, we've probably learned this in Bible class. Do you remember this verse in Bible class? John 3:16? Absolutely. He knows it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the monogenes, the unique, only one of its kind, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He used his Son as that conduit to give us the hope of salvation. Romans 6, starting in verse 3, Paul wrote, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection." Making that comparison that Christ died, we die to our sins. We don't keep pulling them around life with us. We die to that old self. He was buried. We're buried in baptism. And when we're raised up, just like Jesus was raised up, he conquered death. When we're raised up, we're a new creature. We're a Christian. And start that walk that we need to remain faithful until death. And our last verse we're going to look at, Galatians 3:27. Paul wrote, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Those of us that have been baptized, we're in Christ. And going back, we'll end up with that same verse that we started with. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Those of us that are baptized and are Christians are in Christ. And the benefits are all the spiritual blessings. That was God's plan to give us that. If you need to respond to the invitation through baptism, if you haven't been baptized, if you haven't died to your sin, been buried with baptism and risen back up a new creature, we have the opportunity to do so. If there's sin in your life and you need to repent of it, we don't want anything preventing us from serving God as efficiently as possible. If there's sin in your life that you need to repent of, repent. If you need prayers, if you're looking for a church home, whatever your need, please come forward while Kurt leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.